What does eternal life mean to you? How do you relate to it? Let's first correct a popular misapprehension that if you were to live forever, that would be eternal life. That would be a phase of it. In other words, quantity isn't what determines eternal life. The nature of eternal life is that it is divine, and that divine qualities are expressed, and that it is omnipotent, and that it is omnipresent, and that it is omniscient. And that there is no carnal mind around in eternal life. There's no karma. There's no mortality. There's no time. There's no space. All that plus the fact that eternal life extends into infinity in every direction. It has no beginning and no end, just as God has no beginning and no end. And so, let's not think in narrow terms about eternal life, because that's where your consciousness must go, to your eternal life. The Christ stood before the tomb of Lazarus, and he could have said, "Eternal life, come forth." But he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And then, eternal life walked forth. It couldn't have walked out of the tomb if it was not eternal life. If you recall, in the mystery schools, the divinity of man was taught, and eternal life was taught, but it stayed in the mystery schools. Now, Jesus Christ brought eternal life to the masses. What he was really teaching is that eternal life, stepping forth out of the tomb, was the nature of all men. He was demonstrating a universal principle. This that is happening to Lazarus, this is an example for you. And when you analyze it even closer than that, you find that he was also teaching that there is only God life on the earth. There is no other kind. Because if eternal life is the nature of Lazarus, and if eternal life is the nature of mankind, what other life is left? If he was teaching the universality of eternal life. And therefore, if there is only one life, eternal life, he was teaching that there's only one self. Lazarus was a prototype of the one life and the one self. We have to relate to that. We have to see ourselves in that picture. Lazarus came forth. eternal life in you must come forth. It must be brought forth in consciousness. It must be understood and expressed. For the purpose of living in this world is to attain your eternal life. The purpose of your transition is to make transition from the concept of a temporary life to the life that is without beginning or end, the life that is completely invulnerable to any form of destruction, the life that is as perfect as God because it is the life of God. Now, that may be far along in your present state of consciousness. But it could also be very close. It could also be where you are moving very rapidly at this moment. And there is an indication that eternal life is not only within the grasp of many of us, but that some of us may be aware that eternal life is already who we are. It isn't that we're heading toward it. We're learning that that is who we are. Eternal life is either your name now or you're rejecting Christhood. To know God aright is life eternal. To know Christ aright is life eternal. And to be Christ is life eternal. Therefore, if you are not aware that life eternal is your life now, you are saying, I am not the Christ. I am not the Spirit of God. So make your correction. If you are not eternal life, what are you? Temporary life? That's a world concept. Temporary life is without God's substance. That's why it's temporary. It's a world illusion. That's why it has no protection. That's why it stumbles. That's why it eventually disappears. It has no God substance. I'm sure you're not saying, I have no God substance. The life of God is not temporary. The life of God is spirit. The very nature of your being is spirit. The life of God is the very nature of your being. But your form is not permanent. And therefore, does it contain eternal life? Are you judging that you don't have eternal life because your form is temporary? This confusion must also be corrected. No, my form does not contain eternal life. but I am eternal life. And therefore this form cannot be who I am. You must step out of the belief that the form is you, or that you are in the form, because you are eternal life. Eternal life is not in the form. Eternal life will not die with form. Eternal life is never sick. It's never tired. It never deteriorates. When you identify as eternal life, in your fidelity to who you are, you must reject all that denies that eternal life. You must catch every moment when inadvertently you have fallen into a denial that you are the eternal life of God, because that's the only eternal life there is. There isn't your eternal life and his eternal life and God's eternal life. There's one infinite eternal life. There's no other. And the realization that that is you will make a tremendous difference in the degree that your consciousness meets this world. It's like getting 10 feet taller overnight. We're going to rest on that for a moment. We got to establish that eternal life is the name of Christ. Eternal life is the name of the Son of God. All that the Father has is in the Son, and the Father has eternal life, and I am the Son. The Father's eternal life is my eternal life. Not tomorrow. Now. I don't have to work for it. I don't have to even earn it. It has always been the truth of me. In your quiet acceptance, try to expand the idea. Contemplate it. Explore, feel it, apply it, see what it means to you, how it could change your consciousness, what you're doing to deny it. And then remove some of those roadblocks. You may have lived 20, 30, 40 years without realizing that you are eternal life. And in those years, you may have had a number of problems that would not have been there had you realized it. And problems that are in your life at this moment may be there because you haven't realized that you are eternal life. And by realizing it now, you will eliminate problems that might show up in your life. Tomorrow or the next day. Because this is the establishment of a new consciousness. What are you going to do to improve your eternal life? Absolutely nothing. You can't improve it. It's the life of God. Sit back and enjoy it. It is as perfect as your Father right now. What about this life that passes away? Can you disassociate yourself from it in consciousness? Can you see it cannot be your life? What about this life that gets tired and sick? Can you see it has nothing to do with you? And yet you respond to it as if it were your life. All of the problems that you encounter each year, are they occurring in your eternal life? And if you are living your eternal life, will they occur? Try it and find out. You'll catch the illusion. This is not my life. This can't happen in my life. My life is the life of God. Do you realize the power in that knowledge? Do you see how world mind cannot work through that knowledge? World mind tries to convince your mind that something is wrong, and your mind is convinced. So world mind goes through you like a sieve. Next thing you know, you're demonstrating what world mind has convinced you is wrong. There's nothing standing there saying to world mind, this is as far as you go. World mind can't malpractice eternal life. But there has to be someone there knowing eternal life is my name. That's divine life. That's perfect life. Now when you find that, even though you make those declarations about eternal life, and the problems continue, it's time to look at who made those declarations. Did you make them with the human mind? With the intellect? Did you make them with the tip of your tongue? There's no power in that. The very first class, or the second, was the importance of your Christ mind. Your Christ mind knows eternal life. Your Christ mind feels the substance of it. It knows the source of it. Your Christ mind alone knows. Your human mind thinks. So you'll have to transcend the thinking human mind, which says, I am eternal life. So that you live and move in the Spirit, which says nothing but knows. And that knowing is the substance of life itself. You'll find that your eternal life knows itself. Let's take an instance or two to see how you can identify whether or not you're in eternal life substance or not. Your question may be you want to protect yourself against the carnal mind, but you don't want to resist. You see through that paradox. Resisting the carnal mind is not obeying the script. So you say, how do I not resist and yet not succumb to the carnal mind? What's the answer now? Am I the Spirit? Where is this carnal mind coming from? Is it coming from the Spirit? Or is it coming from some form? And am I permitting myself to be intimidated or in some way affected by that which comes from form when I know that form is an illusion? And that only Spirit is where form appears to be. That only eternal life is where human life appears to be. That there's no other life on the face of this earth but eternal life. That there's nothing on the face of this earth but the Spirit of God. That there's no carnal mind. There's only a carnal mind when I am not in consciousness. So you face everything with the knowledge that the Spirit is there, the Spirit is here, the Spirit is everywhere. And the Spirit of God, the nature of that Spirit is eternal life. And whatever is not eternal life is not alive. I am alive, not dead, not the living dead. Take yourself and this world out of flesh in consciousness. Translated to what it is, the invisible divine life of God. Hold to that. Know it well. And you'll find that the world is your friend. It won't be made up of separate little pieces. There won't be antagonisms. The things you'd been hoping for will flow. But you must be living in absolute truth. Re-examine your premises. You have had a world of people. That's not absolute truth. You have had a world of forms. Not absolute. And you have hoped that these people, these persons, would be helpful to you in some way. And they're not there. You look to these people. They can help you. They can do things for you. They can assist you. They can buy your products. But they're not there. The eternal life of God is everywhere, without opposite. You're not trying to convey this idea to the world. You're trying to know it for yourself. And when you know it, you will demonstrate it. And when you demonstrate it, that will be more simple to teach people by your example than by your words. How come you are showing forth that harmony? What have you done? I don't see anything unusual in the way you carry on your life. Well, I just happen to know that the only thing out there is the eternal life of God, and that it's my life. And everything out there loves me because it's who I am. I wish I could sit down with each of you and discuss this principle fully. Until you turn around and start teaching me the principle, because it's so beautiful to know that just as God has no opposition, you have no opposition. God hasn't a single enemy in the world, or a single evil to correct. And we think we have. All of this, in time, 2,000 years ago, when one who had been Christ had said, Lazarus, come forth. Eternal life, come forth. Show yourself. Let my disciples see eternal life. I can't let you go beyond this point until I know that eternal life is making an impression upon you. That you are translating all that you have thought you were into what you really are. Life that was in Jesus Christ is your life. and there's no separation in it. 2,000 years haven't separated you from that life or him from this life. All that has changed is a form. The life is the same. One divine, invisible life, unseparated. One life in your entire family, and one life in the entire human family. When you're living in this one life, you're not on the same channel as those who are not, because the life expresses the qualities of the life, and those who live on the belief in separate human lives will express the qualities of that belief. You can't run around helping people. You can't explain this to them. You can live it out. And you can first prove it to yourself. When you were a child of five, you were the same life that you are now. It seems to have changed because of time and of our acceptance of appearances. But the life you lived at the age of five, the divine life, the real life, the only life, with the same substance and quality as the life you're living now in your reality. And in 1,000 tomorrows it will not change. It's the life you were living 50,000 years ago on this earth, unaware. Be perfect as your Father is a divine instruction to live that life. So examine it. What is it composed of? It never diminishes. It never increases. It's never influenced by anything in this world. It never changes. It can't be shortened or lengthened. It cannot be improved. It cannot be diluted. It cannot be poisoned. It's a remarkable life. I am the life, said the Master. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the resurrection. And that life proved itself. We have no doubts today about the quality of that life demonstrated by the Master. But we have the same Father. The giver of life is the same for you as that Master. We have been asleep. He was awake. So we're going to have a little project. See if you can uphold it. And it will be as follows. That this coming week, you give part of every day to meditations on the fact that you are divine life, to contemplations that you are divine life, and also to taking into consciousness all those in your household with a contemplation about their divine life being your divine life, and with meditations about their divine life, all with the realization that their divine life and your divine life and the divine life of Christ Jesus and the divine life of God are one and the same life. Try that for a week. Contemplate it. Meditate upon it. For yourself. For your household. If you're faithful to that, you'll find that to be a very exciting week. And also, it will plant seeds, divine seeds, that will bear fruit forever. Let's see how we would apply it to our household. Just take the members of your family. Don't leave anybody out. And if you don't have an immediate family under one roof, include those under other roofs who you consider family. And if you don't have that, just take members of the human family and make them your family. But work on it enough to include others, to get you out of just you. And let's see how we would do that. You're going to find some people you're meditating on are not in the best of health. And you're going to be saying, this is divine life I'm looking at. Don't try to convince yourself of it any more than you try to convince yourself that the sun is shining when you see it shining. It's the fact. A little boy may be quite ill. You're knowing the divine life of that little boy. And your knowing is a very quiet time. You have no other thoughts. You're more or less in a close to a vacuum. You establish the truth. This is divine life. eternal life, perfect life. And what I see may not be very perfect, but what I know is the truth, not what I see. And so you remain there. Holding that consciousness. In your state of no thought. Now you don't need the thought, it goes. But you're still holding that quiet consciousness in which you have planted that thought. Often a sense of power begins to grow within you. You can't quite define it, actually. But there is a sense of, I feel the truth of this. And there will be a moment when your thoughts are completely gone. There'll be that one blessed moment when you have absolutely a total state of no thought, not even a ripple of thought. And in that moment, when you think that, you may find the descent of the Holy Ghost. Or it may not be identifiable as the Holy Ghost. You may find a moment of strange certainty that something of substance is happening. In your absolute silence, spirit impregnates your soul. That's when it happens. And the soul changes the inner mental image you have to a soul image. Automatically. And a little boy is lifted by this soul the girl in the coma opens her eyes the world around you is brought closer to the divine image. the eternal life expresses. And all it can express is the perfection of the Father. That's the substance of it. We're not concentrating on physical things only. The knowledge of the presence of eternal life is a great healing influence, not only for yourself, but for those around you, and for those in even distant lands, if they enter your consciousness. The reason I'm remaining in this is because this is our family. And we are realizing the eternal life of our family too. You will recall that Jesus said of Lazarus before the healing, before eternal life came forward, this sickness is not to the death. But that God may be glorified. And when you are meditating about eternal life, your meditation is for the purpose of demonstrating the presence of God life right there, that God may be glorified. Now, how did he know that this sickness was not to the death? It hadn't yet taken place at it, the healing. It's the same thing you're going to have to know in your work.